This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the world-famous Barrels and Dills, indeed second to none. All the Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And again, this half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. John Sauber, Sunday Daily Times, joins us. Hello, John. Welcome back.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's always great to have you on, John. So here's Penn State sitting there in a different world because of the 12-team playoff. What is your opinion on the positioning and how they played to get to this position?
Yeah, I think it's funny that that position they're at now is kind of where they're stuck, right? Like, I think number six is probably where Penn State ends up as long as they win out, just because you look at, you know, Ohio State ahead of them is the probably the most likely of the Big Ten teams to lose and drop beneath them. If that happens, that means Indiana's probably beating them and jumping ahead of Penn State. And so you look at this spot where Penn State's probably going to be the third highest ranked Big Ten team, putting them at the highest as the number six seed. And you know, you mentioned how they kind of got there. I mean, I think this past Saturday is one of the most impressive games they've played this year, right?
Yes.
We've seen before James Franklin-led teams have kind of let one loss turn into two. That's something he's talked about before. But this past Saturday, they you know, it was a whiteout and everything, but they took care of business and didn't let that happen. Put together, I would argue, their best game in all three phases on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I thought they played extremely well in that game, right when they needed to play a game like that. What has the 12-team playoff done for the month of November of college football and the interest in the sport because of it?
I think it's kind of increased it, right? Because one of the things I wrote about after the rankings came out Tuesday is I can say that Penn State will probably be the number six seed, right? And that we probably know these outcomes. Everybody knows that once November hits, chaos kind of reigns supreme in this sport,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like things can go really sideways really quickly for a lot of programs. And so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we're looking 2 weeks from now and you know, maybe Penn State's in the Big Ten title game, or you know, there's a team that came out of nowhere that is in the top 10 all of a sudden, fighting for that last at-large berth. Or you know, you talk about a team like Georgia, even, right? That is not a program anyone kind of had on the outside looking in, and right now that's where they sit with you know, a few weeks left to go in the season. So I think the interest for me at least is higher because I do think it's just opened the door to. You know, more of that chaos, more of those scenarios where teams are involved and kind of have a chance down the stretch.
Well, in fact, last week we had what I would refer to as an elimination game, LSU and Alabama. LSU's out of it. They've got three losses now. Now you've got Georgia hosting Tennessee, for example, this week. Tennessee does not need to fall into the two-loss pool. Georgia, if they lose, it's three losses, they're out of it. So, I mean, to me, the intrigue it has brought has been incredible.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. And I think that those two games are a great example of that, right? Like, how many games in the past would we look at in November and be like, this will eliminate a team from the playoff, right? It was like one or two, maybe three. We're not even halfway through November, and you're looking at those two games specifically are just enormous. And then you have, you know, like I mentioned, Indiana and Ohio State, which are going to have an enormous impact on the rest of the season. Every game Oregon plays is going to have an enormous impact because they don't have the easiest opponents with, you know, Washington and Wisconsin coming up. So, yeah, I'm with you. This is, you know, there's so much more excitement and so much more on the line for so many more programs. I think it's been nothing but good for the sport so far. And, you know, if it increases to, you know, whatever it ends up being, 16 down the line, I think that's only going to increase that chaos and that uncertainty in November.
Before anybody poo-poos Oregon, Washington, keep in mind Dan Lanning has never beaten Washington. Now, it's different personnel, different time, but just a fact of life that despite having really good personnel, they still haven't beaten them yet. All right. When you look at Penn State, they control their own destiny in this thing in terms of getting in. As I said after the Ohio State game, I said on the broadcast, they're in a four-game playoff to make the playoff. Now they're in a three-game playoff to make the playoff. Give me an area of the football team you think needs to be a little bit better that helps solidify that spot.
That's a good question. I honestly think that the wide receivers are going to be that spot until, you know, the season ends, right? We saw a little bit of it against Washington. We saw Trey Wallace play a lot better. Julian Fleming was involved. Liam Clifford was involved. You saw more general involvement from that position group. But I think until they're consistently contributing on a game-to-game basis, that's going to be the spot that everyone points to as maybe not the spot that's holding them back, but preventing them at least from reaching the highest end of their ceiling, right? Like, this is a potential national title contender, and I don't know if it can get there if the wide receivers aren't playing better than they are right now.
When I was talking to groups in the offseason, and naturally they asked about Drew Aller, I said, look, he was, what, 59.5% last year. I said, if he could be 64... 65, I said, now he's on track to having a really terrific season. Johnny, 70.3 right now. Are people doing, do you think people are appreciating enough how well he's actually playing?
No, but I also don't know if that was the case last year either, right? I thought last year there were a lot of mitigating circumstances that kind of set him off the path that maybe weren't his fault. This year, I mean, he's been tremendous. He's taken a massive step forward from last year. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. I believe that, you know, for large parts of this season. I mentioned those wide receivers kind of holding the team back. The way he's playing, he's doing it with, you know, Tyler Warren's obviously a Mackey Award contender and a potential, you know, top 10 Heisman candidate or what have you, and Warren's playing great, but he's really the primary option that Aller has and kind of the only one that he knows he can rely on, and Aller's still producing like he is. You know, there's every Saturday he's making those throws that are unbelievable, right? Like that you mark down as ones that very few quarterbacks in the country can make, and he's doing it a few times a game. He's been so much more consistent this year than he has been in years past. Yeah, I think he's been kind of underappreciated, you know, over the last 2 years, but definitely this year because the quarterback position went from one that everyone was kind of talking about last year because people were trying to figure out where to kind of assign blame for the issues to this point of, you know, it's not even noticeable anymore, and so maybe he's flying under the radar a little bit because of that.
When other reporters that haven't seen much of him ask you about Warren, what do you tell them?
One, that I think he's the best tight end in the country. I do think it's close. I know there's been a lot of, poo-pooing of Harold Fannin Jr., who is excellent, as Penn State found out earlier this year when they played Bowling Green. But, I think Warren is the best, as James Franklin puts it, the best all-around tight end in the country, right? He is, I think the first thing you have to bring up is the versatility. As everyone knows, he played quarterback in high school. He also punted in high school. He did everything for his high school team down at Atlee. So, he is the kind of versatile piece that I think very few coordinators can maximize in the way that Andy Kotelnicki has. That's the other part of this, too. And I think that kind of relationship between Warren and Kotelnicki, and the fact that Kotelnicki's here for this year is kind of elevating Warren to this level of where I do think he is the best in the country.
Fannin, by the way, had 10 more catches last night. for anybody who's wondering.
Yeah. Remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't matter if he's playing Texas A&M, Penn State, or Miami of Ohio. He just produces every single time out. What's your thought on the defense and how they played to this point?
Yeah, I think this is the second best defense in the country, and I only think it's second best because we all kind of saw up close what Ohio State's capable of doing, and I know some Ohio State fans have not been happy with Jim Knowles and what have you, but I think he's done a tremendous job. And outside of that unit, though, I think Penn State is better than any. It's very strange because at the beginning of the year, I think there were some perceived cracks, even from my perspective, right? Like I saw some of the slow starts to games that maybe they weren't adjusting quick enough early in the year, and I thought, you know, I didn't know if Tom Allen would have this unit at the same level that Brent Pry had and that Manny Diaz had in years past. And then you see, as the year goes on, they continue to get better and better at all three levels of the defense. Kobe King is playing incredibly well. At defensive end, Abdul Carter and Denai Dennis Sutton, when he's healthy, are the two of the best in the country. A.J. Harris, I think, is one of the best corners in the country, and I think he's going to see his notoriety grow heading into next season especially. Obviously, Jalen Reed has been playing the best of his career. I just think at all three levels, they have guys who are playing kind of above maybe where we all projected where they would be, and that's allowing the whole unit to take the next step. And it helps that Allen plays a style of defense that bend but don't break, right? Like make the quarterback try and beat you downfield when it's difficult. Style that is, you know, more popular these days, but also more successful. And they haven't been beaten by really anyone to that great of a degree, other than, oddly enough, Bowling Green, right? And I think that's a testament to how Connor Bazelak played in that game and how Fannin played. But two, it's kind of an outlier. They've been mostly dominant for most of the season.
Yeah, it was also the first game they had to start adjusting mid-game with K.J. Winston being out because he played the first quarter and then left. I know you're a big hoops guy, which I love. Virginia Tech, Penn State's out there 3-0 start. What do you think so far?
I think I was probably wrong about this team's ceiling. I think Yannick Cody-Niederhauser might be an NBA center, which is not something I anticipated. I will be curious to see how he kind of evolves the rest of the season. It's really interesting. The way he's played, like the brute force and the physicality, isn't how I anticipate him playing in the Big Ten, and the way I think he'll win in the Big Ten will be even more impressive with the skill and the floor spacing, the passing, his ability to attack the rim off the dribble from, 15 feet out. I think that will really stand out as they get into Big Ten play and even this Friday against Virginia Tech. But I think as a team, I think they have a legitimate chance to make the NCAA tournament because of Yannick Cody-Niederhauser and, the guys that we all know, like Ace Baldwin, DeMarco Dunn, and Zach Hicks, those guys. But I think Niederhauser raises that ceiling of what this team could be at the end of the season.
John, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. I always appreciate it.
And this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make this a November to remember. Sunbury Motors Hyundai received 10 truckloads of new Hyundais, and we need to make room now. Choose from over 55 brand new Hyundai Tucsons with savings over $6,500. Sunbury Motors has the full-size SUV Hyundai Santa Fe discounted up to an unbelievable $6,197 off. Both the Tucson and Santa Fe have financing as low as 0% for 48 months and 1.99% for 60 months. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 mile powertrain. If you want to have a fun day, why not buy a Santa Cruz Hyundai? This nimble pickup starts at $31,340. The Santa Cruz is discounted up to $49,50 with 23 available. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is going to save you the most money all year now. 10 truckloads of new Hyundais will make this month a November to remember with your next Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.